Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, my dear friends in Christ. It's nice to be able to skip to the end of something sometimes. I notice that we've got this opportunity these days, especially when you're watching like a video online. You can just jump to the part you want to see most, and you don't have to give it a second thought, but it didn't always used to be that way. Every once in a while, I have to explain to somebody that I do, in fact, know what it is that sits on the front of my credit card. It's the picture of a cassette tape. And sometimes people are surprised that I am actually old enough to know what a cassette tape is, but I do. I grew up in a time of cassette tapes and VHS tapes, and we use them all the time. And I distinctly remember being really excited to finally be responsible enough to return some VHS tapes that we had borrowed. And of course, there was always one rule, right? It was on the stickers that would be on the cassette tape. That would be on the VHS tape when you borrowed it. There would be little signs outside of the video rental store back when those were a thing too. Everywhere they could possibly remind you came the helpful little phrase, be kind, please rewind. We had a little device sitting next to the TV that you could put the tape in, press it down, and in just a minute or two, it would fully rewind the tape, helpfully, for the next person up. And I volunteered to be responsible for rewinding the tapes. Of course, I forgot. We sent those tapes back, and it was only after we were on our way back home when my mom asked me, Seth, you're sure you rewound the tapes before you put them back? I had to sheepishly admit that no, I hadn't, because rewinding the tapes was boring and tedious, and I didn't want to do it. I wanted to just be done with that worthless little job and get rid of those tapes. But of course, it doesn't work that way. You got to do the tedious little thing. You've got to make a small sacrifice, you, so that the next person up doesn't have to do your job for you. There's got to be a little burden before the glory. You can't skip out that middle step, no matter how much you might want to. And in our text for today, we see our Savior not skipping any steps, not missing an opportunity to show to you and to me exactly who he is, exactly what life in this world is going to be like, and helping us to face that often uncomfortable reality head on. There's going to be crosses in this world. There's going to be struggle and suffering. And yet, even though that's true, you have the solution. But it's not skipping the struggle. It's enduring the struggle by knowing you have a Savior who did the very same thing with you and for you. And that helps you bear your own cross. If our text for this morning sounds like it starts a little fast, it's because Mark's moving fast. He's just gotten done describing one of the high points of Jesus' life, a huge victory, his baptism. That beautiful occasion where he shows us the value of baptism by being baptized himself. He didn't need to be, of course, being the sinless Son of God. But he gives us the gift of baptism by doing it for himself. It's a high point, a huge victory, the voice from God coming down from heaven. This is my Son whom I love. Ah. You'd be tempted to stay there. It's tempting to stay very, very focused on the high points of life. So those are the good times, the peaceful times, the happy times. And we love them, and we cherish them, and we're blessed by God through them. But dear friends, the happy times in this world, I probably don't have to remind you, they don't last. And maybe at first that seems like a slap in the face from God. If God really loved me, wouldn't he make my life easy? After all, I do so much for God. Look how righteous I am. Look at how faithful I am in coming to church week after week. Look how generous I am with my friends and with my neighbors. Look at how I talk. Look at how I carry myself. How patient I am. Shouldn't God reward me for living this way? And of course, in our minds, a reward from God means ease, means comfort. Means my bank account is always filled to overflowing. Means that I'm never worried but once about the fine things my family is going to eat or drive or wear. Means that I am just overflowing with friends and with rewards and with accolades from my peers. And of course, God does give us those things from time to time. But they're not the main thing. They're not the most important thing. That is to say, having good things, rewarding things in this life, that's not God's highest purpose for you. And he proves it in the way that he directs even your Savior in our text for this morning. High point in life. Grand beginning to his ministry, baptized, the voice of God comes down from heaven. Well, wouldn't that be a special occasion for you and me too, to have God's personal seal of approval placed on us from heaven? But right after that high point, the Spirit immediately sent Jesus out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness for 40 days being tempted by Satan. Those high points are nice. How about those low points, friends? Good for those peaks, but how about those valleys? The bad diagnosis from the doctor. That uncomfortable phone call with a friend who doesn't want anything to do with you anymore because they just don't like your outdated point of view. Low points. We don't like those very much. In fact, I would prefer if I could just avoid all those valleys, have nothing but peaks. And I'm tempted to think, if God really loved me, that's what he would do. Take away all those burdensome things, those tiresome things. He'd keep me away from suffering. He wouldn't let me be hurt, not even stub my foot against a stone. After all, isn't that a promise he makes in the Bible too? But here's your Savior, dear friends. Here is Jesus himself going out into the wilderness and being tempted, being browbeaten by Satan himself for 40 days. How's that for a valley? And why? Why do it? Why afflict the very Son of God with suffering like this? Why does God bother to afflict me with suffering, even if it isn't quite like this? It's for the very same reason. Friends, this world is not the goal. Sure, it once was when God first made it. Made it perfect, made human beings in His image. Made this world to live and to produce nothing but life forever. A perfect dwelling place for His perfect creation. But of course it didn't stay that way. Of course, it was ruined not only by the disobedience of Adam and Eve, but they were helped along by the same Satan, the accuser, the tempter. And in ruining that perfect creation, Satan got his wish to twist, to corrupt something God had made for good and use it for evil. And with that sin came death. With that sin came suffering, came disease, came harsh words, came grudges, and so many more things that cause you and I an awful lot more valleys in our day-to-day life than maybe we would like. And so, of course, wanting to avoid all those awful experiences, we say, God, just take them away. God, do away with all those things. I don't want to put up with another minute of them. I can't take another loss. I can't stand another awkward phone call. I can't put up with another harsh word from another person, or I'm just going to snap. God, just do away with all those things if you really love me. But He does love you. And you see it in the fact that even your Savior suffers like you do. God gives Jesus a heavy cross to bear. Not just the physical one that He shoulders as He walks deliberately, resolutely up Golgotha, but also this one, the heavy cross of temptation, the heavy cross of earthly suffering as He is deprived of food and water in the wilderness. Jesus goes through all that, this deep valley, but He doesn't do it for no reason. He does it for you, dear friends. He does it for you not just to prove that He can, not just to rub your nose in it because He does it so perfectly and you and I so rarely do, but to show you that even He goes through suffering in this world because that's what this world does. Even your Savior is hurt by His time on earth. It'd be amazing enough if He humbled Himself to simply take on human flesh and blood as the Almighty God in heaven and to experience normal life as you and I experience it. But He could have left those valleys aside. Would have been well within His rights, would have been well within His power to keep Satan at bay all the time here, to keep hunger at bay, to never be tired, to never be thirsty, to never be sorry or feel grief over witnessing death or sickness or pain in other human beings. Could have done all of that, but He doesn't. Instead, He comes to this world and experiences it in all its grandeur and all of its horror. He does that for you. To prove to you that He's the Savior that you need. The Savior who can sympathize with your weaknesses because He's felt what it's like to be you. Even though He's experienced life in this world and never falters once, never tries to avoid the cross, never tries to lay it down like you and I are so often tempted to do. But He does it perfectly And then turns around and says, you can do this too. You too can lay down the burden of sin that has driven you to your knees so many times in your life, but you can't do it yourself. You never could do it yourself, but you don't have to. Because your Savior has been in your shoes, and by His power, and by His power alone, you're set free. So when He is done being tempted by Satan, when Satan's given Jesus his absolute best shot to turn Him aside from His path towards self-sacrifice and fails miserably, when Jesus has spent His time with the wild animals, after He's been served by angels, even after His dear friend John has been placed in prison and soon will be put to death, Jesus goes on preaching the gospel. Mark tells us He went to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. And His message, so simple, so beautiful. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the gospel. Jesus suffered too, just like you do. But He didn't turn aside from His mission, not to the right, not to the left. Resolute, straightforward, He walks on towards the goal. And the goal is more suffering. It's rejection. It's a crown of thorns. It's being nailed to a cross of wood. And yet onward He goes. Because He knows where He's going. And He knows what He's going to accomplish through His suffering for you. And because He does it so perfectly, dear friends, because He never wavers, never falters, never turns aside in doing what He came to do for you, you too can be resolute. You too can shoulder a cross. You too can carry it to whatever end. Not just because your Savior sets this high bar for us to meet. We could never meet Jesus that way. But because when we see Jesus endure suffering for us, to achieve salvation for us, we know what the goal is. You know how it ends. You know it ends in a place where there is no grief, no suffering, no crying, no pain. You know it ends in a place where death has never set foot and never will. You know it ends in a place where you will see your Savior face to face in the flesh, where you'll sit by His side, at His feet forever. You know that's how it ends because you see how it goes here this morning. Your Savior suffers so that even though you suffer now alongside Him in this world, you know the time is coming when that cross will be put down for good. And so what a blessing it is. What a rare blessing it is to walk step in step with our Lord in just the same way. Peaks and valleys alike. That no matter what happens in this life, no matter how deep those valleys might run, no matter how sharp the pain may be, no matter how powerful the sting of death or sickness or loss, you know it has an end. And it ends in glory. So we don't have to skip to the end. We don't have to pretend that suffering doesn't happen or accuse God of not loving us because he allows suffering to happen. Instead, we can rejoice in our sufferings because they mirror our Savior's sufferings. Because every time this world reminds us of how awful it can be, it reminds us too at the same moment of how wonderful our Savior has already been for us. Every sharp sting of this world is a beautiful reminder in the same moment that our Savior endured the same thing, but didn't waver in his resolute will for us, wanted to save you so much, he was willing to endure anything, even death on a cross, so that he could set you free. He could remove the sting of death forever for you and for me and for everyone who comes to him in faith, everyone who hears his cry, "The kingdom of God has come near." That kingdom of God that overwhelms the Lord of this world, our enemy, the devil. The kingdom of God that stands so much higher and grander than this world could ever aspire to be. That kingdom of God has come near. In fact, dear friends, it's already within you. Your Savior rules. He reigns. Not only in heaven to guide your life for your eternal good, but in your heart to continue to guide you as you live a life pleasing to him. The life that he's freed you to live. It's easy to think that the only way I can get through it all is to get past the bad. And maybe the only solution, the only way that I'm going to make it to the finish line is if I can just take my scissors and cut out those valleys and leave them behind. But your Savior this morning shows you a more excellent way. A way that allows you to face whatever comes with real joy. Not the temporary, fleeting happiness that you can only experience at the highest points of life, but the real joy that underpins every moment of life, no matter how spectacular or how crushing they might be in the moment. Joy that comes from knowing that at every moment of every day of your life in this world, your eternal future is 100% certain. That no matter what happens today or tomorrow, whether we live or we die, whether we are healthy or sick, whether we have plenty or we are in desperate need, many friends or few, no matter what happens, your Savior remains your own. And you have a room in heaven with your name on it, not because of anything that you have done, not because of how wonderful your life has been or how much it has been filled with suffering and struggle. That place in eternal bliss belongs to you. Because your Savior's seen it. He's been through it. No matter what it's been in your life, he knows. He knows your sufferings, and he stands ready, waiting for the day to return, to put all those sufferings to an eternal end, and bring you to be with him. You don't have to cut out the middle to enjoy the end. You don't have to pretend there's no such thing as a cross to face down life in this world without fear. Instead, your Savior shows you you can shoulder that cross by his grace, by his power shown to you in what he does for you. Because just as he carried his cross to the end, knowing that he would win salvation for you, you too can bear up under your cross, still living and walking under his grace, won at such a high price for you. Because you know the end. You know, no matter how the middle goes, the end is glorious. And until that day comes, may God continue by his power to help you bear up under your weaknesses, under your cross, to bear those crosses with a smile of eternal joy. Because they are winning for you a salvation that far outweighs them all. In Jesus' name, amen. And may the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through faith in our risen Savior, Christ Jesus. Amen. And I invite you to please stand as we confess the faith we share using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ,
the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God,
begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven